All of us have things in life that we especially admire and appreciate. For some, it's a painting or a song or a story. For others, it's clothes or a computer or a car. But humanity's greatest art and invention pale against the exquisite design, complexity, power, and beauty of our natural world. Whether viewed with the naked eye or studied through telescopes or microscopes, our world at every level is teeming with amazing objects and organisms. We might well ask, who made this? Who made me? Discovering if there is a creator is the starting point for thinking about everything else on our journey to eternity. After all, if there is no creator, it's pointless to go any further to consider if he has a message, or a son, or a salvation, or a kingdom. If there is no creator, it means that our journey through life is a dead end, and our destination is oblivion. If, on the other hand, there is a creator, it would seem to be of primary importance to know who this creator is, if he has spoken to us, if he expects anything of us, and what his plans are for this world and the next. In Acts 17, the historian Luke records for us a message that was given by the Apostle Paul as he addressed this very issue to a society of pagan intellectuals and theologians in the city of Athens. Paul presented to them the reality of the one true God, creator of all, and reminded them of the enormous implication of that fact for the world and each one of them personally. From his message, and with the rest of the Bible surrounding it, we too can learn three fundamental truths about our Creator that I hope you will take a moment to think about seriously on your own journey to eternity. Paul began by telling them of the Creator we can know. He said, "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Speaking of the Creator again, he said a little later, "Though he be not far from every one of us, and he has given assurance unto all men." Paul not only asserted the existence of the Creator, but also our ability to know and find that Creator by using our minds to review the objective evidence he has given us to consider. On the most basic level, he is implying that we can know the Creator by reason. Think about it this way. There are really only three basic options for how our universe got here. It is either uncreated, self-created, or created. Which one makes the most sense to you? To be uncreated would mean that time would have to go back into the past forever. And so to arrive where we are today, our universe must have already gone through an infinite series of moments. But this is impossible. You can't go through forever. Time must have a beginning, and hence a beginner who by definition is outside of and beyond the time-space universe. The second option is that the universe is self-created. For this to be true would require that the universe as a whole, or at least its basic building blocks, have appeared out of absolute nothing. Again, this is obviously impossible, since absolute nothing has no being, let alone the potential to give existence to itself or something else. Even God couldn't create himself. Despite all the sophisticated scientific theories, in the end, they are all saying essentially that the universe is uncreated or self-created, either of which is the ultimate in contradiction and fails the basic tests of reason. The third and only viable option is that our universe was created. It is the only possibility that makes any logical sense and agrees with our very life experience. Everything that comes to be must have a creator. Listen to Paul again. God that made the world and all things therein. Reason demands a creator and agrees perfectly with the message of the Bible. But while reason can show us that a creator must exist, it's only a starting point. If we are to know what the creator is actually like, we must look beyond mere reason for some clues. The creation itself would be the second way we can know that there is a creator and to discover more of what he is like. The Bible says in Romans 1 and 20, "The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The evidence is everywhere in creation. But the most amazing and complex display of the Creator's genius is seen in humanity. Our life, consciousness, personality, intelligence, morality, and creativity must be reflections of what the Creator is intrinsically. The creation can't be more complex than the Creator, and therefore all these characteristics must originate in Him. Of course, the reality of evil in the human heart doesn't mean that this too originates in the Creator, because evil is actually a corruption of something good, not an actual characteristic in and of itself. While creation offers spectacular evidence, It too reaches its limits in what it can tell us about the Creator. It's ambivalent when it comes to His heart, His character, and His desires. If we are really to know our Creator at the deepest level, He must reveal Himself. The third and most important way we can know our Creator, then, is by revelation. Of course, down through history there have been many religious books and ideas that claim to be that revelation of the Creator. Among all of these, the Bible stands alone as the most unique, cogent, and accurate in its concept of one God who made all things and yet is independent of His creation, in its law with a standard of morality that towered above every concept of ethics of its day, in its prophecy of a coming Messiah and Savior for the world. When we come to the New Testament gospel records, we have the accurate, eyewitness, historical record of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that reveal Him to be this promised Savior and the fulfiller of all these predictive statements. He as well in history stands unique in His claims. He not only affirmed the Old Testament creation account as being the truth, but presented Himself to actually be the Creator, who now had come into His world Himself to provide salvation. He gave undeniable evidence that His claim was legitimate by His sinless life, His supernatural miracles, His unparalleled message, His sacrificial death, and His resurrection from the dead. For those who will consider revelation, creation, and reason all declare to us that we can know our Creator. But on that day in Athens, Paul not only reminded them of the Creator we can know, but also of the Creator we need to know. That as human beings, life and existence is incomplete and will never reach its potential without this knowledge and a relationship with our Creator. Paul preached, God hath made of one blood all nations of men, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. He is implying, among other things, that we need to know our Creator instinctively. It was obvious to Paul that day by all the idols he saw in the city that people, however misguided, were searching for God. And even down to our present day, the sheer fact is that roughly 90% of individuals who have ever lived in history have held to some sort of religion or belief in God. There is an instinctive sense of something bigger than ourselves in all our hearts, whether we want to admit it as being God or not. To press his point further, Paul also stated of our Creator, For in Him we live and move and have our being. We are His offspring. Not only do we need to know our Creator instinctively, but we need to know our Creator purposefully. He is the ultimate purpose for existence. All of us, to some degree, search for something to live for. Of course, if there is no Creator and we are all just here by mindless chance, then there is no ultimate purpose in life, and everything we live for and accomplish is doomed when our universe collapses. But even those who deny God find themselves irresistibly searching and striving to find purpose in life. Some find very noble goals, like helping others. Others live primarily to satisfy their own selfish desires. Most blend the two. All these things essentially serve as inadequate substitutes for the one true God. In the end, it's not so much if you believe in God or not, but which God do you believe in to give you significance? Even in humanity's search for meaning, they are tacitly admitting the need to know the Creator purposefully. Of course, just believing in any concept of God is unacceptable, since the one true God has revealed Himself. Paul's message now takes on a more solemn tone as he emphasizes that we need to know God morally. God now commands all men everywhere to repent, he declared. As the moral authority of the universe he has created, God is telling us that there is a serious problem that must be faced and that is hindering our knowing him. It is something that we all have a sense of already. However corrupt or jaded, young or old, every human being has an innate sense of right and wrong. It is the most uncomfortable thing about being human because we all know we have done things that are wrong. The repentance that the Creator now demands means agreeing with Him about the wrongness of my sin and the rightness of His judgment against me. God has told us in His Word what is right and wrong. God is keeping score. He will judge sinners. This is why the culminating point of the message of Paul that day was of the Creator we must know. Paul said of God that through his Son, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. To escape his judgment against our sin and to be a part of his coming kingdom, we must know God vitally and personally. Not to know him is to be excluded from that paradise forever. The consequences could not be more extreme. Knowing God requires that we, in repentance, first acknowledge our own sin and guilt before him now, in this life, and receive by faith the gift of salvation he offers through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Because God's kingdom is eternal and will never be invaded and corrupted by sin again, we must also know him eternally, and this is exactly the nature of the salvation he has provided. The Lord Jesus said of those who trust him and will join him in his kingdom, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." In coming to know our Creator through salvation, there is a relationship to enjoy with him both now and forever. I hope as you listen to the messages in this series, you will embrace the ultimate purpose and eternal life that God has provided for you. The Lord Jesus' own prayer to his Father for people was that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.